with our friends, let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for being able to hear Thy word together now this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thy Spirit, Lord, may take it and bring it alive to us. Again, Lord, help us to see its relevance, Lord, to our lives. We do ask, Father, this morning for those, any amongst us, Father, that are on the broad road to destruction. We pray they might become aware of it, they might realise the end of it. We pray, Lord, they might exit it this morning and come into the narrow way, which leads to everlasting life. Oh, Lord, grant it, we pray. Do help us now, Lord, grant to us all grace. Give to us light upon the word. Grant to us love in the preaching, we pray. And grant, Lord, a good and hearty reception of thy word into heart and soul today. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text for this morning is in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs are wise sayings. The Proverbs in the book of Proverbs aren't any old wise sayings, of course, if there is such a thing. Remember, these are inspired. These are not only Solomon's Proverbs and the Proverbs of others. These are God's wise sayings. And not just to King Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and to all of Solomon's children, but to all of God's children. And what I mean by that is not only people who are believers, but even those who are not. It's to everybody. These proverbs are for everybody, for all of the children of God, for all of those whom he has created and made. So in the book of Proverbs, and the fourth chapter, and verses 14 to 17, and verse 19. So just skipping the 18th verse, which gives to us a contrast. Verse 18 is the contrast to the path or the way that we're going to look at this morning. So Solomon wrote to his son and to all people, not only as a king, but also as a prophet, God to everybody by his spirit. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So that, my dear friends, is our text for this morning. Proverbs chapter 4, 14 to 17. Just missing out verse 18 for now, but also including verse 19. We have great king, one of the greatest kings of Israel, King Solomon, the son of David, as he mentions at the beginning of this book, here speaking or talking, or in the end here writing to his son, to Rehoboam, indeed to all of his children, to all of his people then, and to all people ever afterwards, about a particular path or way. The two main paths, aren't there, through this world. And both are mentioned here. The one in our text this morning, and the other one in verse 18, which we may look at a little bit later on. But here he's referring to one particular path or way, which really all of us are in from birth. And the only way to get out of it, and to get into the other path, as we're going to see a little bit later on, is being born again by the Spirit of God. So what is the path or the way that everybody is in coming into this world as the result of our first parents falling and sinning? We come into this world in the path or way of evil men or the wicked. That's what Solomon is dealing with here. You can say that this could also be kind of a path or way that people go into later on in this world. They go into it more deeply. But generally speaking, if somebody is not a true Christian believer, a regenerated person, a born-again person, this is the way that they are on. And they need to know of his existence and they need to know that they are indeed on it and where it leads. So he's speaking to him, and God is speaking to you this morning, warning you about this path or way of evil men or the wicked. And Solomon exhorted his son like this: don't enter into it. Don't enter into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So what is this path or way? Well, it is, I suppose there he's using a figure, isn't he? A figure of speech. He's using a metaphor, a simile, as he does in other places in this passage, for really a course or a way of life, for conduct through this life. He's referring to these peoples, and they're unbelievers, all of them unregenerate people, people who haven't been, as we would say today, become Christians. This is their direction through life. Indeed, ever since they were born, they were on this way, and they continued in it. Some went deeper into it than others. Their direction, their journey through life, their life itself altogether, the pathway that they are in and proceed through this life in, their route, their spiritual route, or their walk, as it's sometimes called in the New Testament. Walk is sometimes used for a way of life, or for a way that somebody takes through this life, from birth through to death and even to eternity. So that's what Solomon means here by the path or the way of evil men or wicked. It's the way that unbelievers take, the unregenerate, those who have not been born again, that they take through this life. And some in particular, as I say, they particularly go deeply down this way and are more evil outwardly than others. But all are on this route, generally speaking. I notice that he uses the same terms verse 26 of this fourth chapter, and he says to his son, he says, ponder the path of thy feet. He's not actually saying to him literally, you know, look at the way that you're going physically, literally, but the way that the drift of your life, the way that you're going, let all thy ways be established. And he mentions the same kind of things earlier on in the chapter as well. Well, my dear friend, let me ask you this morning, is this a way that you have entered into, that you've already entered into? Is it a way that you are going in? Have you entered into, or are you going in, the path or the way of evil men or the wicked? Is this something that you've not avoided? Indeed, it was impossible for you to avoid in a way, because, as I say, you were born into it. You were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You've inherited the sin of our first parents, which has been inherited by, is handed down to you. And you've come into this world, and you're in this path. You're in this way. A path, a way, or a road that the Lord Jesus Christ called the broad road, which leads to destruction. Have you not avoided it? Not passed by it? Not been able to pass by it? Not turned from it? Not passed away from it, but thoroughly in it? Well, as I was thinking on the way here this morning, if I wasn't a Christian, one of the things that I want to know is this, about this, is that it existed, is that there is such a path. And I'd want to know whether or not I'm actually on it. And if I am on it, what I can do to get out of it. And I realise that everybody is on it, and that I really am on it, and how I can get out of this way, out of this path, which leads to destruction. So just take on board for now, my dear friend, that there is such a way. And if you're not a Christian, you are on it. And it will lead to damnation, it will lead to destruction, it will lead to eternal punishment because of your sin. But there is a way in which you can escape it. I'll deal with at the end of this message. But let's just see if this is a way that you are on. How does this wise man Solomon describe this path or way? Well, he describes it in three ways here in this passage. First of all, he describes it in a general way. Then secondly, he describes it in a more particular and specific way. So that generally it is an evil, mischievous or wicked way by definition because of those who are on it. More specifically, it is a violent way. And then thirdly and fourthly, thirdly and lastly, it is a dark way. It is a spiritually dark way. And we'll deal with that in just a little bit more detail. So he describes it, thirdly, in a more figurative and metaphorical way. Let's look at these three descriptions. And as we look at these three descriptions, ask yourself this question. These questions. Is this describing me? And if it is describing me, it just shows, it's describing what I'm like fundamentally, basically. If I am like this, whether I'm not on the narrow way which leads to life, to everlasting life, I'm not on the road of faith, the way of faith and believing and following the Lord Jesus Christ, which is going to lead to heaven, which is what Sheila's going to be teaching the Sunday School children about this morning. But I am still on this broad road with everybody else, being swept along so quickly, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, ever closer to doom and destruction, falling over the cliff, as it were, of death, into eternity and into eternal doom, into the fire of hell where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. Well, how is this way described generally? Well, it describes it by definition as an evil, a mischievous or wicked path or way. You notice immediately the way in which language changes over the years. I think I've had opportunity to mention this in the past. If we're not careful, my dear friends, words can lose their meaning. In fact, words can end up meaning exactly the opposite of what they really mean. If you think about the way in which people use these words today, you know, something that is evil isn't evil. In fact, sometimes they think it is good. Something that's wicked isn't wicked. It is something that's exciting and thrilling. And something which is somebody who is mischievous, is a little bit naughty in quite a jovial and funny way. My dear friends, that is not how God understands these words. They're not how God understands people like this. Not how God understands this kind of way. The way in which God understands it is in a very serious way, in a very sharp way indeed. He doesn't take the edges off these words. They mean what they really mean. Solomon writes to his son that the path or way of evil men or the wicked, it is an evil, mischievous or wicked way, even as the devil himself may be described like this, even as all the demons who fell at the creation or before the creation, they're described like this, as all the unregenerate are described like this. And just some who may seem worse than others, this is the general description of sinful and fallen mankind. And your description, unless you're deceiving yourself and don't have a true understanding either of God or of yourself or the world in which you live. He says in these verses, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. It is the wicked's path, therefore it is a wicked path by definition because of who are on it and who take it. And go not in the way of evil men. Evil men are in this way, and therefore it is an evil way, an evil path by definition. And look at how bad they are. They sleep, or some are. They sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away. They become insomniacs through sin, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. What a remarkable description of this way. And what a remarkable description of those who are in this way. And particularly, you know, the way in which they're up all night, thinking about how to do mischief. And the way in which they eat people, sinful people, unbelieving people, they eat the bread of wickedness. It is something that they hunger for. It is something that they want daily. It is something that they seek to satiate themselves with. But the next day they want more. They can't get enough of it. They can't get enough of wickedness and of doing wicked things. So these things mean this is a way of evil people or bad people, we might say, mischievous people, people who are wicked or impious, ungodly, unjust, unbelievers, those who do wrong, who are wrongdoers, those who are unrighteous, and they are those who eat the bread of wickedness. It means they are full of falsehood, full of lies, full of deceit, full of deceiving others. They're full of fraud and full of injustice, doing and undoing unjust things towards others. And you might think, my dear friends, that those are descriptions of those who are particularly bad in this world. Well, in a sense, it is a description of people like that, who really do go off the rails altogether and plumb the depths of wickedness. But it is also a general description of the unregenerate, fallen state of man. Jesus said, Jesus knew what was in man. He knew that the heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked and evil and mischievous. And he knew the kind of things that came out of the heart and into the life and into the mouth and into society, into the ears of others. And it was just like this. And this goes for everybody, my dear friends. Basically and fundamentally, bottom line, this is what you and I are like by nature. All of us, without grace, without salvation, without the Spirit of God, and without salvation. One is written as follows. There are wicked people in this world. We could say everybody is wicked in this world. The only persons not to come wicked into this world, of course, are Adam and Eve. And then they turned wicked at the fall, when they sinned. And our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, everybody else is like this. There are wicked people in this world. Some are so wicked that they eat, drink, and sleep wickedness, and stay up half the night pursuing wicked schemes. They're not ready for bed until they've done something evil. The psalmist speaks of such a one in Psalm 36 and verse 4. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Quite the opposite. He likes it. He enjoys it. He delights in it. He not only delights in himself, he delights in making others to do evil. He likes to see such a life in others, particularly because it doesn't lead to him being convicted of what he himself or she is like. Solomon uses the same word at the end of this chapter in verse 27 of this fourth chapter of Proverbs. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot, Rehoboam. Pity that he didn't. Remove thy foot from evil, from mischief, from wickedness. Sad to say that Solomon's son, who came after him on the throne of Israel, he didn't do that. He didn't heed his father's advice. This is something that you will heed, my dear friend, and turn away from. Are you evil? I don't kind of pull any punch there. Are you fundamentally evil in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, as a result of sin? Are you bad? Are you a bad apple? Are you an evil man, woman? Yes. And even as a youngster, a boy or girl, there's nobody innocent in this world, my dear friends. However young somebody might be, somebody might have a young baby boy, a young baby girl, and they look on there, they think they're absolutely innocent. They're not innocent. They are fallen. They're evil in their nature, wicked in their nature, and that is why they need to be born again. Are you mischievous? Are you a wicked person? Do you eat the bread of wickedness? You can't get enough of it, just like you can't get enough of food, and you have to have it every day, and you have it on a regular basis. Do you have to practice this to satisfy yourself? My dear friends, then, if you're like this, you are on this path. You are on this way. Be aware of it. Be warned. And realize the end of it. And make sure that you escape it before you die, or before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So Solomon describes this way generally speaking. Secondly, he describes it particularly or specifically. He says that it is a way of evil men. It is a violent path or a violent way. See, that's not a general description, is it? He's coming now into more detail, to more nitty-gritty. It's a violent path. It's a violent way. He means it is an oppressive way, an oppressing way. People are on this do wrong towards other people. Violence means to oppress people, to oppress others, to have them under their thumb, as it were. And they not only eat the bread of wickedness, but they drink the wine of violence. Again, this is something that they thirst for. Something they seek to kind of slake their thirst with. And it's something that intoxicates some more than others. They just love to be violent. They have a violent nature. Sometimes they speak in a violent way. They flare up. They have something of a temper. They like to oppress others. All their ways are not peace, but their ways are violent. And they are violent towards others. You think of our country today, my dear friends, in homes, domestic violence towards wives, sometimes even towards husbands, violence towards children, violence in playgrounds, violence at work, violence in society. This is a world full of violence, isn't it? And a world that is full of oppression. People oppressing those who are weaker, the strong oppressing the weak. Well, you might not be gone down this line to such an extreme, but it might be a general description of what you're like, even as a youngster. You might have a violent temper. You might be violent towards your brothers or towards your sisters sometimes. You might oppress others, even in quite a secret way, at home, seeking to kind of oppress a brother or a sister, kind of have them under your thumb, telling them what to do, bossing them around and so on. This is what we are like by nature, young and old, rich and poor, male and female. Solomon says in chapter 10 and verses 6 and 11, blessings are upon the head of the just. But he says, violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And that can mean that violence will come upon them, but also they practice violence and oppression towards others. In verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked, the same expression. And in verse 13 and verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. It's very often the case. The violent very often have a violent life. Very often they have a violent end and a violent eternity in judgment. But also they not only mete it out, but they also receive it. So this is the description of those who are on this way. Not only evil and mischievous and wicked, they are also positively violent. Some more than others. Some secretly in the heart. Some openly. Some verbally, emotionally, and so on. And this is what these people are like. Do you drink such wine, my dear friends? Again, another metaphor. Drinking this in. Being like this. Being intoxicated by it. Excited by it. Wanting more of it. It is something that you like. Godly soul likes the opposite of these things. Not evil, but good. Not wickedness, goodness. Not mischievous, but doing what is right. Not violence, but the godly soul. The person on the path of the just loves peace and harmony in their lives and in the lives of others. They are peacemakers. But if you love to drink the wine of violence, my dear friend, you are on this path or way still. And unless you repent, unless you turn to God, unless you're born again, unless you come into the narrow way, you are going to meet an evil end. Mischief is going to come upon you. You are going to meet with a violent end, even at the hands of God. He is going to punish you for such a life. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is destruction. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you live like this, don't be surprised if you die like this. And don't be surprised My dear friend, if God meets out to you a violent eternity, destruction from the presence of the Lord. Well, my dear friends, finally, he describes this figuratively or metaphorically. He says, finally, it's not only an evil, a mischievous, a wicked way, and a violent way. Also, it's a dark way. He says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And in the figure here, this is not just the darkness of night. It is a deep, intense, thick darkness or gloominess with clouds and a tempest. That's the kind of darkness this is thinking about here. Not a kind of normal darkness, but a very intense, extreme darkness as well. And it refers to the various terrible calamities and misfortunes that come usually upon such people who are in such a way. Now listen to the following. The way of the wicked is marked by a deep darkness that is never dispelled. This points to a number of things. First of all, now is this you, my dear friends? If you're on this way, it's a dark way, and it's a dull way. People who are on it are dull and dull-witted and spiritually ignorant. This is spiritual dullness, or spiritually, it is a way of spiritual obscurity. Darkness is a metaphor in Scripture for dullness, ignorance, or obscurity. The wicked are ignorant of God, and so of themselves, and also of this world. They don't understand. They don't know God. They don't know themselves. And they don't understand the world in which they live. They don't understand where it comes from, who is keeping it going, and what everything is, what it's going to lead to. They don't understand. They're in the dark. They're spiritually dull and dim-witted and ignorant. They are dull-witted. They often bump into things and stumble, as it were. But they do not know why, because they are in a state of spiritual ignorance. Are you? Is that a description of you? You're in darkness, as Paul would say. You're in a state of spiritual ignorance, first of all. Also, darkness can suggest being deceived and deceiving others, being under deception. In the dark, my friends, it's easy to be deceived, isn't it? You might think that something is one thing, and when really it's another, you're fooled by its shape. Our eyes are more likely to deceive us in the dark. And Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 of evil men and seducers or deceivers who become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are you such a person? Are you a deceiver? Are you a deceiving person? Even worse. Are you somebody who doesn't believe the truth? Because you believe other things. You don't believe this is God's word. You believe other things about it. You don't believe it's God's word. You don't believe the gospel. Perhaps you believe other things about this world. You don't believe in creation. You believe in evolution. And perhaps one day you might turn to a cult, or even worse, the occult, or to another religion. Are you, my dear friends, still in the dark? And that is still a danger. Deceived, being deceived and deceiving others. It's a way, as we've already seen. It's dark. It's depraved. It's a depraved way. It is not, my dear friends, that you are as bad as you possibly could be. But if the restraints went, you know, doing something and you weren't feared of the consequences, you would be. It's a depraved way. Depravity. Darkness is a picture of wickedness itself, of depravity. Paul speaks of righteousness and unrighteousness having as little in common as light and darkness, or Christ and Belial. 2 Corinthians 6 and verses 14 and 15. He warns against the unfruitful works of darkness, which we must avoid, yet reprove. He speaks of the need to cast off the works of darkness, which include such things as rioting, that is, orgies, drunkenness, national sin today, chambering, sexual immorality, rife today, wantonness, debauchery, strife, dissension, and envying, jealousy, Oh, my dear friends, what a people we are as a result of sin. We are all of this and more. This is a dark way. People in it are dark. They are depraved. Are you depraved? Really? Sometimes the suit or the clothing can deceive us, thinking we're better than we are. But secretly in our hearts, and sometimes in our homes, you know, we realise and we work out this depraved nature that we have. Are you depraved by nature? Not as bad as you could be, but you would be if all the restraints, as it were, came away. And that, some people say, that is what war is like. War is when you see man in his true colours, when all restraint is gone, and you see him raping and pillaging and murdering and loving to murder and killing. You see what men and women and boys and girls are truly like. It's a dark way. It's a dangerous way. We associate darkness with trouble and danger. Crimes are often done under the cover of darkness. It's much worse to be lost in the dark than in the daylight. How easy to stumble and fall then. It's a dark way. It's a dangerous way, my dear friends. And also, it is a way of degeneration. The idea of deep darkness suggests the very opposite of stepping forward, of forward momentum, of velocity, of progress. Rather, it suggests stagnation and even degeneration. The wicked are headed for death, and the nearer they come to it, the more meaningless, the more empty their life is. Their sorrows only and will only increase. It's a dark way. It's a way that degenerates more and more. It leads to despair. It finally, my dear friends, leads to death. Degeneration leads eventually to the darkness and gloom of death. John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, refers to those who sit. Are you sitting in darkness and in the very shadow of death? And not only in the very shadow of death, but in the shadow of damnation or destruction. Christ spoke of hell as a place outside, a place of darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Peter, the Apostle Peter and Jude say of false teachers, that the blackness of darkness was reserved, and the blackest darkness was reserved to them. The broad road leads to this. It leads to destruction, because it's a dark way. Degeneration, death, hell, and destruction. Solomon says in chapter 7, verse 9, in Proverbs, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, darkness there, literal physical darkness. But those who are on this way, in a state of spiritual darkness. Is that the case with you? Is your way as or like darkness? Are you spiritually dull? Are you deceived by the God of this world and by all of his lies and deceits about evolution and everything else? Are you depraved, really? Are you in spiritual danger of losing your soul? Is your life one that is just going downhill? Is it degenerating? Is it heading towards despair? Are you dying? Are you in danger of damnation or destruction? Well, if all this is true of you, and it is if you're not a believer, you are on this fatal path or way. And to close, what Solomon's advice to his son was this. He's really saying, whatever you do, my son, whatever you do, all of you, that he is addressing here, this warning here in this passage, he's saying, whatever you do, don't go into it, but it's too late, isn't it? You are in it. Don't go in it, but it's too late. You are in it. You are travelling. You are walking in this way. He says, avoid it, but you haven't avoided it. You're in this way. Pass by it. Turn from it. Pass away from it. But it's too late. You might not be in all these things up to your neck, at least as yet. But you are on this general road to destruction. So he says, this is the way that you're going. What you need to do is to get off it and to get into what he calls in verse 18, God willing, we'll look at this way tonight. You've got to get into the path of the just. It's like our Lord said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Enter ye at the straight gate." This is the way we've been dealing with this morning. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to this destruction from God's presence. Many there be that go in thereat, and you're in it if you're not a believer. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. And few, there be only few, you can see that by the state of the Christian church today, only few there be that find it. But those find it, those who find it are those who enter but via the new birth experience. By being born from above, born of God, born from heaven, born of the Spirit of God, being regenerated by the Holy Ghost. As our Lord said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, the only way to sin to enter the kingdom of God was for him, clever man that he was, religious man that he was, in some ways towards others, good man as he was in some of the things that he'd done. The only way for him to enter was being born again. He had to be born again. And I ask you this morning, my dear friend, if you want to get off this way and go on to this other way which leads to heaven, the slip road off is the new birth. Have you, my dear friend? Have you, my dear friends, been born again? It's a wonderful experience. I can't think. There are many people, unless it happens very early on in life, that can experience such an experience without knowing it. Because in some ways, just like birth into this world can be rather traumatic for the baby, and can be quite an emotional time, if you like, and can be quite a noisy time, and sometimes quite a messy time. My dear friends, birth into the kingdom of God can be spiritually traumatic, can be emotional. My dear friends, anybody who becomes a Christian, there's going to be emotion involved. You can't take emotion out of it. And no doubt, adults are going to be aware when this happens. They're not going to understand it, not going to be able to explain it. But they're going to know something rather dramatic and profound has happened to them. Has it happened to you? Have you experienced rebirth, regeneration? And you're aware that you're now in a different environment, a spiritual environment, with spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom, a spiritual outward, a glorious end, a glorious hope, that you have faith, you have repented, you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not been born again, you're going to die and go to hell. If you have, you have life, have it more abundantly, and you're going to eternal life. Well, my dear friend, examine yourself this morning that you've experienced this birth from God. Amen.